So we're looking at your new life in Christ. But today and probably next Sunday, we're going to be looking at an aspect of our new life in Christ. And that's what I've called the privilege to be able to pray to God. I'll call it the privilege of prayer. Now, I call this the privilege of prayer because as we go along, we'll see that prayer coming, well, having the ability or the access to God as believers is a real privilege. Now, in those days, in the Old Testament, people couldn't approach God by themselves. They needed priests. They needed intermediaries. And it was so serious in those days that the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies, which in those days represented the presence of God, once a year. And when he went into the Holy of Holies, they tied a rope around his waist and with some bells jingling. And he was the only one that was allowed into the Holy of Holies. And as he was going around, you know, doing all the sacrifices within the Holy of Holies, the rope that was tied around his waist with bells would be jingling and jingling, so they would know that he was still alive. If he made any mistake at all in performing the sacrifices, maybe he didn't say the right things or he just didn't get it right, it was a dead man. And because the people couldn't go into the Holy of Holies to bring out his body, because they would be dead as well, they would just pull him out with the rope tied to his waist. That was how serious it was to have access to God in those days. And Israel was the only one who really had access to pray to God and for God to really answer their prayers directly. All the other nations around, nothing like that at all. So when I say it's a privilege, it's a really big privilege. Before I start today, even so, the Bible that we have with us at the moment, we have NIV, KJV, the Message, so on and so forth. And you have it on your phone, you have it in so many formats. That's a privilege as well, because in those days, I'm not talking about in the times of Christ, I'm talking about just maybe early 1000 and something century, maybe 13 something, it was illegal to have a copy of the Bible. In fact, there were people who were killed because they had an English version of the Bible. Do you understand? So why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because it appears that when something becomes readily available, it often loses its significance to us as human beings. I know that I remember when I was much younger and I was in boarding school then in another country. What used to happen then was that at the beginning of the term, we would have pocket money and, you know, just coming back from home, everybody's like happy. We would spend something that's meant to last you for the whole term, maybe like 3 months. You just blow it in a few weeks. You'd buy what you're not supposed to buy. Like instead of buying maybe one meat pie and all that, you'd have like maybe seven. Just spend everything. And after that, it was you and you alone and you were really hungry. In those days, if we saw like a little biscuit after that period, it was like gold. People would be like begging for you to have that. It wasn't a concentration camp, mind you. It was just boarding house. And in some countries as well, they don't have food at all. In fact, one missionary was saying a while ago that they went to visit a really poor country and they were preaching the gospel. And when they went to this village, the people, they were so happy. And they gave them the best meal that they had in the village. And when they brought the meal, it was a little bowl with some really odd things. And what they were presenting to them was maybe like the best menu they had. And these folks, because they were so malnourished, because they were so, where they were was so arid, they used to eat, maybe they ate once or twice a day, if they were lucky. But I mean, come on. You guys here in Bristol, you can just decide, you know what? I don't like that pizza. I'm going to chuck it in the bin. What I want is I want macaroni. And if I don't like the taste, and it's like no big deal because it's readily available. So that's just the background. I'm saying that prayer is a massive privilege that we have with God. It is something that is so, underrated. That I believe that as we begin to understand the intensity of prayer, well, let me not say the intensity, the what prayer really encompasses and what's really available to us in terms of communicating with God, I pray that, you know, we'll put it in better context. Now, today I'm going to be looking at three things. What is prayer? What is prayer? And, well, I'll look at two things. I got some dictionary definitions of what prayer is online, and I got two here. The first one here, it says, prayer is communication with God. So prayer is communication with God. When we communicate with God in speech, in, you know, whatever way it is that we communicate with God, it's defined as prayer. So it's man having a conversation or a communication with God. That's what prayer is defined as. Now, the other definition also goes to qualify. It says prayer can be spoken. Prayer can be silent. It says prayer can be in a song, and it could be used to praise God or to ask for something, including help and forgiveness. So it's qualifying that even when we have this conversation with God, this communication with God, it could be in form of a song. It could be in form of just us sitting before God and just thinking about God and just really speaking to God in our minds. But we're communicating with God. So that's what this defines prayer as. So the second thing I want to look at is, what is the focus of prayer? What is the focus of prayer? And I think what I'm doing here is I'm going to put this in, well, this is my own contextualization of it. I'm going to say there in this context, three focuses of prayer. I'm not saying that is all there is, but I'm just saying to put it in context in this scenario. I've said we'll focus prayer into three focuses. The first focus we'll look at is prayer focused towards God from us. The second one I'll talk about is prayer focused about ourselves. I'm not saying towards ourselves. So the first one is prayer focused towards God. The second one is prayer about ourselves. And the third one I'll describe today is prayer for others. And that's what I'll call intercession. Prayer for others. So those are the things that we'll look at today. So we've looked at the definition of prayer. This morning we want to look at these three focuses, and I believe God will help us. Now, prayer focused towards God. Now, at the beginning I said we have this massive privilege of being able to approach God, to pray to Him, and He actually answers us. You know, the Bible tells us the only reason why we have this privilege, the only reason why we're able to do this is because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made. It is because of Christ that we have access to God. It is because of Jesus Christ that we can actually even pray to God and expect God to listen to us. Do you understand? If we look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. It says something there. It says, for through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So it's saying here that the access that we have to God to pray in the first place is because of Jesus Christ, that we have access to the Father. So imagine this. In those days, the only way they had access was through an individual or a number of individuals going before God for them. And in most cases, they could only go, in quote, face to face with God once a year. But the Bible tells us that now we can go boldly before God our Father, because we have access through Christ. So it is the sacrifice that Christ paid for us that has given us that access to God. Now, still talking about prayer towards God, there are a number of things we can do. Or let me not say do. There are a number of things that we pray about. There are a number of things that we focus on when we pray to God. Now, the first thing is just to fellowship with God. Psalm 42 verse 2. Now, when I mean fellowship with God, what does that really mean? Prayer isn't just us asking God for things all the time. It's not us asking God to do things for us all the time. It's us communicating with God as our Father. And the psalmist said something here. It says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? So here, the psalmist is saying, look, I really want to be with God. I really want to be with God. And he says here, this shows the position, the attitude that the psalmist had to prayer. So it was the psalmist saying, look, I can hardly wait to, you know, go and spend time with God. So for the psalmist, it wasn't like, okay, oh my goodness, it's 1 o'clock or it's 2 o'clock. It's prayer time. Let me just, you know, go and, you know, tick. Let me go and just, you know, tick the roster here. No, the psalmist had an attitude of, you know what? I just really want to spend time with God, to the point that the Bible says his heart was longing to be with God. So it wasn't a thing that was just a religious activity. It was actually the opportunity to, you know, spend time with God, the opportunity to speak with God as a father. So focus towards God and prayer focused towards God involves us spending time with God. Now, obviously, if we look at Psalm 50 verse 15, apart from spending time with God, prayer towards God also involves us asking God for help. And God says, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. So the Bible also says that when we pray to God, we ask God for help. So we're spending time with God. We're asking God to help us in our daily affairs. And even when we're in trouble sometimes, we're asking God to say, look, God, help me. I remember when Peter was in the boat in one of the in the Gospels, and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And they were afraid at first. They said, who is this? Is this a ghost? And Jesus said, it is I. Peter now said, if you're the one, ask me to come out. He said, come. Peter jumped on the water and started to walk. And as he was walking, something began to happen. He turned his heart, his eyes away from Christ, and he began to sink. And he prayed a very powerful prayer. Does anyone know what that prayer is? He said, help! Help, Lord! And straight away, Jesus just held out his hand and helped him. So when we're, you know, coming before God as well, we can really ask God to help and expect that he will help us. You know, in spending time with God on an individual basis, we don't have to make it too complicated. I know there are times that, you know, we've been taught that you have to say your prayer in a particular way. You have to start with this kind of phrase. You have to start with that kind of phrase. You have to do this. You have to do this. So on and so forth. Those things are good from a principles perspective. But the truth of the matter is this. God sees our heart and he wants us to communicate with him heart to heart. So whatever is in our hearts, we tell God. If we need help, we cry out to God and say, God, this is what is happening in my life. Please help me. Do you understand? So we can pray to God and ask him for help as well. The other thing is, when we focus prayer towards God, we also ask him for direction. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. It says something there. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So this is saying that in life, we don't have to depend on our knowledge all the time for the future. Because the truth of the matter is this. Yes, we have a brain. Yes, we should think things through. But we need to realize that when it comes to the future, when it comes to the plans that we have, when it comes to the things that we're expecting God to help us with, when it comes to decisions that we want to make, God says, look, don't lean on just your own understanding, because your understanding, my understanding of the future is limited. He says, don't lean entirely on your understanding. Acknowledge me. Submit your plans to me. Bring your plans to me. I want to really help you. And he says he will direct our paths. Now, the question I get sometimes is, how will I get the answer from God that God is directing me to do X or Y? How will I know God is asking me to make this choice or the other? And I said, look, what I respond to is this. The response I give normally is, do you know, like, we have little children in this church. If I get, for example, one of the young boys, maybe CDH, who's 2 years old, and I want to direct him to, say, for example, go downstairs to the car, the way I would speak with him and the approach I would use will be different from an adult. For an adult, I might just say, can you please meet me downstairs at the car? And that's enough for you as an adult. But for a young man at that age, he doesn't even probably know what a car means. So what do I do? Because I want to direct him. I would either, one, hold his hand and pull him along till he gets to the car, maybe carry him as well. Maybe, I mean, do you get what I mean? So the same way, God will use whatever means he can to guide you. But the main thing is that you are conscious that, God, I want you to really guide me. So whether there's some people that you might see, you might hear God, you know, speaking to your mind, God might give you a vision. That's great. But on the other hand, God might not do any of that. It might just be that God begins to set up different things and you get to a particular place and you're there, in quote, at the right time. And maybe you're there and you're talking to a number of people and those people will be speaking about something that you've been thinking about that's totally unrelated to the conversation. And you know that this is God asking me to do this. So what am I saying? I'm saying that God will relate to us. He will direct us in such a way that we will understand what he's saying. You understand? But the main thing is that we expect that he will. So we're talking about prayer here. We're looking at the second part, which is the focus of prayer. We said prayer can be focused towards God. That's where we pray to God. We ask God to help us. We just talk to God, really. God, how has your day been? Do you understand? How are you feeling today? That is communicating with God. Now, the other part or the other focus here is what I've called prayer that's about ourselves, directed to, prayer for ourselves. So that's the second focus of prayer that we're looking at this morning. Now, when I say praying for ourselves, what does that mean? Now, the first one I spoke about is we're speaking to God. We're communicating with God. God is speaking to us back in various forms. But this one is directed not at yourself, but about ourselves. Now, why do we do that? What do we need to do? Why do we need to pray for ourselves or about ourselves? The first one I want to look at is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. We can pray and we pray that God gives us understanding so that we can know him better. So it's a bit of a strange one. And when I say it's a bit of a strange one, it's saying that God knows you and I, but God wants us to ask him to help us to know him. Do you understand? So God says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul was praying. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So there are a lot of things that we don't know about God. And God says we can pray that we may know him. We can pray about ourselves. We can pray about other people. So there is something that God wants us to do. God wants us to be dependent on him in every area. So we can actually pray and say, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that I can know you better. So we can pray that about ourselves as well and for ourselves. The other thing as well that we pray about when it comes to us ourselves is we can pray for strength. If we look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If you look at the King James Version, it says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So it begins to say here that you can be tired as a person, and you will be tired. I tell you, you will be tired at one point in your life. Now, if you're tired physically, what you can do, as most people do, is you can just go, kick your legs up, relax, get some sleep, and just, you know, visit the McDonald's near your house, have a couple of Big Macs and all those things, and you're good to go. Sleep for a couple of hours, and you're ready to go the next day. So that's, you're tired physically. So that's what you do when you're tired physically. All right? But how about if you're tired spiritually? How about if you're tired emotionally? The tiredness that is not visible. And it's just like, man, I'm so tired. I feel like just sleeping for 2 days. You know that you're not physically tired because, you know, you've rested, but you're just emotionally and spiritually tired. What do you do? God says you can wait on Him. You can pray and say, God, I'm so tired. I feel like, just strengthen me sometime. Just strengthen me. I mean, I know that there have been days that maybe I was meant to go to work. In those days when I used to walk. Is it walk or walk? Depends on if you're American. I used to walk quite far away from Bristol. And it used to take me 2 hours to get to work. And I did that for about 3 years. And there were some days that I would wake up. There were some days that I would wake up and I would just say, you know what? I'm not just physically tired here. I'm emotionally tired because I know when I get to my office, there'll be 40 people waiting for me who are going to drain my energies. They're going to say this, 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 this. And I'm like, I'm just tired. You know what? I think I'm going to have a lie-in today, but obviously I can't do that. So what do I do in those instances? Just say, God, I'm really tired. Can you just help me to regain my strength physically? So this scripture is saying that those that wait on the Lord. So this means that there are times that we'll be tired emotionally, spiritually. But God says you can pray. And your prayer is about yourself. You're not praying to God to, you're not, it's about you saying, God, help me. Or even if it's not about you, about somebody else. And you're saying, God, renew my strength. So the same way that when you've rested, if you're physically tired and you've rested, you've had a couple of burgers and stuff, you feel energized. The same way God can renew your strength. He can re-energize you. Do you understand? Focusing on prayer. So that's prayer about ourselves. We've looked at prayer towards God. And we've said that's communicating with God. The second one we've just looked at is prayer about ourselves. So what I'm saying is that we have such a big privilege that we can come to God. God wants to help us. He wants us to focus on Him. He wants us to pray for help, to pray for strength. Do you understand? Now, the last one we'll look at today is prayer for others. So this is the third focus of prayer. Prayer for others. And it's called, we call it intercession. So intercession is when you pray for another person. So we call it prayer for others. Now, why do we pray for others? We'll look at a number of things here. The first one is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. We can pray for others so that God will open their hearts and they can understand the gospel and they can be born again. Now, why is this? Because the Bible tells us something. It says, if our gospel is veiled, it says it is veiled to those who are perishing. It says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So can you imagine I'm having a conversation and I'm explaining to someone that God has made the way for you so that you don't have to go to hell. It's free of charge. He has paid the price through Christ. And I show the person evidence and I show the person the scriptures and I'm trying to explain that to the person. And I'm like, can't you see what I'm trying to say here? Can't you see what I'm trying to do here? I'm explaining, I'm trying to get you to understand what I'm talking about. Because you're going in a ditch. The future that you're heading towards going this way is not the best. God has a plan for you. God wants you to be saved. And they don't understand. And they're telling me, I don't understand what you're saying. What you're saying is irrelevant to me. What you're saying to me is has no relevance whatsoever. The Bible says in that circumstance, that person is veiled. They don't understand what they're saying. So how do we deal with this? Do we argue and argue and argue? No, we don't. The Bible says we pray. And the prayer is this, that God open the hearts and the eyes of people who do not believe so that they can believe. So this is called intercession. Another thing that we can do for ourselves, we looked at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Is we can also pray not only for ourselves, we can pray for others, asking that God will help them to know him better. Do you understand? So we pray for people who are not saved, who do not know God. The Bible says they're blinded so that they can know God. The other one we pray about is so that everyone can come to the place where they know God. So we can pray for others as well. The other thing as well in praying for others is we can actually pray for others to be healed, for God to heal somebody else. If you look at Luke chapter 7 verse 1 to 10, and this is the story of a man who came to Christ about somebody else. And it says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There was a centurion's servant whom his master valued highly. He was sick and about to die. And the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation. He has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far off from the house when the centurion sent friends to him to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. If you read that story going further down, the Bible says that Jesus healed the servant of this man just by speaking the word. Now, this servant that was sick, he didn't know what was going on. He probably didn't know Jesus was around, but this centurion sent a message. He prayed on behalf of his servant that God heal this my servant that's not well. And Jesus answered. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this that in terms of prayer is just more than asking God to do just something for you alone. It's a lot more than that. So what I'm saying here is that we can pray to communicate with God on a daily basis, just the same way I communicate with you. Just, God, this is how I'm feeling. How are you doing today? What do you think about this? I know that might sound a bit strange if people see you talking to yourself, but you can say it in your mind. But God wants us to communicate with him that way. We've also said we can pray for ourselves as well. And lastly, we can pray for other people. We can pray that God will help other people. We can pray that God will heal other people as well. Do you understand? So what I'm saying this morning is we have a massive privilege of prayer. And this massive, massive privilege of prayer is that we have access to the Almighty God who knows all things. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the person who is next to you. And the interesting thing is that he wants to hear your voice. He wants you and I to come to him. He wants you to pray to him. He wants you to spend time with him. He wants to strengthen you as you ask him to. In Jesus' name. So we're going to stop there this morning. And I'm just going to ask that we all rise up and pray together this morning.